You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hoofit. Head. And Hotbox.
Hey guys, thanks for joining us for episode 7 of The Training Dummies, recorded on August 9th, 2012. I am Taylor, I play a druid tank named Hoofit, and joining me tonight is Rob, the DPS Death Knight Hotpox. This episode, we are without our camping Canadian, so no hand love tonight.
Our housing Canadian.
Housing Canadian, well... our housing hoser.
He's got electricity, he's not camping. Housing hoser.
Camp a Canadian, housing hoser. Up in the mountains or in the woods with electricity power and everything but a microwave, apparently. So
if he was able to edit our show notes while he's camping, then he's not really camping.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to agree with you there. He's probably deep frying a turkey or something. All right, so tonight we're going to touch base on a couple things we may have botched up in the last few episodes or maybe elaborate a little more on. Before we get started, Rob, how has your week been?
Did you say elaborate a little moron?
Just a little moron. He's only like 4'6".
A little moron. Oh, we just got out of raid, and that was... I'm just still, like, kind of scratching my head at how easy it is now. I brought my shaman, and then I also got a phone call while we were raiding, so I was really, really distracted. I wasn't even there, like, mentally half the time, and we plowed through everything. You know, we hit, we did Hagara in one phase, right?
Yeah.
Knocked her out, no problem at all. Yeah, so it's nice. It's still fun, you know, since I actually was able to bring my shaman in there and got a couple pieces of gear. So that's still really cool. I'm still really enjoying it. I think I'm kind of done doing most LFRs for now on most of my tunes, because going in there lately is just nothing but trolls and headaches. So I'm kind of... I think I'm just going to save the rating and everything for our guild stuff, and you know, maybe some normal mode pugs or something. But yeah, I was kind of... we were talking before the show a little bit about the whole cat a bucket list thing, and I think right now if you're looking at leveling any tunes, if you're trying to get anybody up to 85 before the mist pre-patch drops, now's the best time to do it, because that way you'll be able to get everything ready. If you're thinking about switching mains or trying something new, now is definitely the time to do it. So that's kind of it. Been busy at work, busy at home, and things are going pretty well. So how have you been going?
I've been going... so the cat a bucket list, huh?
Yeah, you know,
that's going around.
Everyone was all hitting archaeology pretty hard for a while, but I've kind of backed off it a little bit to focus on a couple of other alts. But
I forgot to run a tally on it before we started recording, but I'm close to 700 solves now, pretty close.
Jeez,
I don't...
dude.
It is migraine inducing. I'm so...
No.
I
want to
kill archaeology. Oh my goodness. I don't really have a bucket list, so to speak, other than two things, and unfortunately they're both related to archaeology. And I'm still trying to get that Vial of the Sands, and even more than that, I want to get that mummy hand, or the hand pet from the Tolvir digs. Man, that...
you want that more than the vial, huh?
Yeah, I do at this point. I bought a Vial of the Sands Drake because I had made so much money from archaeology alone, and somebody was selling it for really cheap, 25,000, at least on our server. That's really cheap. And
I think the mats alone are that much, right?
Something. I think they might... yeah,
low 20 something. Yeah.
Yeah. So that guy must have got all of his own mats. and made all of his own potions and gold bars and all that stuff and put it together. I mean, he's still, if he did that, he's still making a pretty good profit, but if
it was
not,
a hacked account.
Oh man, I would feel bad if it was a hacked account.
He's all selling. Everything must go.
I actually haven't learned it yet because I felt like it's sitting in my bank.
You ripped him off.
After the fact, I thought, man, if this is some hacked account, I don't know. I felt bad, so I didn't even learn it. Just because I thought, you know, if a GM contacts me and says, hey, did you buy from this guy, you know, and takes it away, I didn't want to get used to having it. So I didn't learn it.
No, you know the real reason is my birthday is coming up here, and you were just trying to save it for me.
Oh, I mean, I learned it tonight. That's what I meant.
Oh, no. Now you have to find the vial, the pattern.
But yeah, more than the vial, I'm gunning for that mummy hand. But they don't share the same deal. So whether I get one or the other, I've gotten, I think, 12 jars at this point and no pattern. Outside
of
that,
You can't get the same rare twice, right?
No.
So it's kind of like you have to get it eventually, or.
Yep, I just gotta keep on solving a crapload of Night Elf stuff until I finally get enough Tolvir digs. Yeah, I was getting to the point where I was almost capping out my Tolvir artifacts and just wait until I could use a bunch and just use a bunch in a row. But outside of the game, I guess my only bucket list stuff I'm doing is reading the books. I finally finished the War of the Ancients trilogy, which is it's Well of Eternity, and then I forget what I think the last one
was
the Sundering. That's it. So it's Well of Eternity, Demon Soul, and then the Sundering. And so I finished that up last Sunday, I think it was, and they were pretty good. And now I've got two more books that I want to read that I have waiting, and that's it's a two-part, at least the books indicate it's a two-part, because it says number one and number two. I have no idea if there's a number three or not, but it's The Day of the Dragon and Lord of the Clans. So I've got those two. I haven't started.
Well, that new one will be out here pretty soon, right? The new Christy Golden one for.
Yeah. Well, I haven't read Thrall yet. I need to read that one. I'll probably read that one before I read the Jaina one.
I just have to start reading them because you and Taz loaned me a couple, and I still have, I look at them and I go, man, I really want to read that.
I think I lent you Rise of the Horde like a year ago, and you're like two chapters in.
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
At this rate, shoot, you know, I'll have it.
You might finish it when Blizzard goes out of business.
That's right.
In 40 years or something.
Oh, it'll be like all said and done, finally. Oh, Rise of the Horde.
It's like, I finished it! Oh. So, yeah, I don't, you know, I've got all my professions all done up. I've got all my characters leveled. I've got everything done up. So, outside of those two things that I really want in-game, Vial of the Sands and the Hand Pet, doing pretty good.
You're not planning on switching mains, right?
I'm not planning on it. I read a whole blog post about the Druid tanking stuff, and it looks pretty good. I was pretty excited to read most of it. The changes usually don't bother me too much. I've been through enough changes on Hoofit since I've been tanking on Wrath with them, and every time they make changes, you know, right before the big expansion pre-patch comes out, I'm really nervous. You know, oh man, these changes look really weird. How's it gonna work?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, they changed swipe. You know, I used to back in the day, I used to like to use swipe. You know, you put your butt to the crowd controlled target so that your swipe wouldn't break CC.
It wasn't AOE, or, yeah, because it didn't go all the way around you.
Yeah, it was only in front of you. So whenever they changed it to 360, it was really frustrating to get used to at first. It didn't take long to get used to at all. Adding in all the new stuff in Wrath, and then when they changed some stuff around for Kata, all these things that they did, every time it was a little bit nervous going in, and then once you started getting in there and doing stuff in the pre-patch, it was like, wow, this is actually pretty cool. I like it. So I'm not too nervous about it. I think it's going to be good. After reading the blog posts that I've seen, kind of absorbing some of the information that's going to be coming down the pipe for the bear tanks, I'm pretty confident that it'll work out pretty good. So what about you?
Kind of like what you said, I'm not planning on it. Man, I love DPSing on Hotbox, but I really want to try out a couple things. I'm really interested in Shadow Priest and Elemental Shaman to see how they look, but I'm not planning on switching mains really, so.
So do you think, yeah, even if you do switch mains, do you think you'll change your role, or do you think you'll stay DPS mostly?
Well, I don't plan on going heals for raiding. I'm always open to filling in, and that's not a big deal. But I don't plan on doing that, and we pretty much have you and Taz as our solid tanks. The only thing that I would even really consider along those lines at this point probably would be if one of you guys were tired of tanking, I'd be willing to step up and try that for the raid team. But I like DPS too much, though. I don't know.
Yeah, DPS is fun.
It is a lot less responsibility, but you can also make a lot out of it if you do it properly, you know.
Yeah. So speaking of things to do in Cataclysm before Misk comes out, we do have a tweet from Gregory W.J. Kelly. Gregory W.J. Kelly. Wow. Okay. I didn't know. Maybe that was a rapper name.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry if that's your stage name. We're not trying to mess that up.
Whoops. Whoops. We should have used GRWJ Kelly. Something. Okay, so Gregory W.J. Kelly. Got a quick question. Should I keep doing research and buying books for Inscription before Mists of Pandaria? Should he?
If you're asking me, I'm going to say yes. I know that the glyphs are changing in Mists, and I'm not sure the details of that. I haven't really dug into it yet since my main does not do Inscription, but there's no real reason right now why you wouldn't want to still, unless you're spending a bunch of money on it, unless you're buying those, the Book of Glyph Mastery or whatever that is, unless you're buying those for 500,000, 1,500 gold a pop, there's no reason why you still shouldn't be, you know, picking those up or farming for those or doing your Inscription dailies, you know, for some of the regions that give you different ones. There's no reason why you shouldn't do that. I'm at 525 on Inscription on my Paladin, and there's still tons of glyphs that I don't know, and not knowing for sure where they're going with glyphs. You know, I heard something about doing away with primes and some of them becoming more flavor based. You know, there's no reason why you still shouldn't be keeping up on those. What do you think?
Yeah, if you learn the glyph that ends up being changed, so let's say you learn a prime glyph and they decide to change the prime glyph into something else, you'll get it. Mm-hmm. Because it'll just change whatever you've learned in your spellbook. It'll change. Now, from what I've read, the Inscription, the books of Glyph Mastery and such from Wrath, from what I've read, they're not going away. They haven't added those learnable patterns, whatever you want to call them, for your profession. They haven't added those in some other way to get. As far as I know, they haven't added them as a daily to learn. They haven't added them as a trainer-based learning.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I think it's still worth it to get it. I'm not 100% sure on that, though. But one thing to consider, like Rob said, if you're buying these things and it's a lot of money, if it's not a lot of money, then don't worry about it. I would just keep on learning them. But if it seems like it's getting a little pricey, this is what you should consider. After Mists comes out, you're going to be another 5 levels up. You'll be able to go to any of the Wrath dungeons easy, and you'll be able to pull entire rooms up to the whole boss even. I don't know what you'll be able to do, but you'll be able to pull a lot of mobs all together, kill them all at once, and guess what? You'll have AoE looting, and you can just click once and see if there's a Book of Glyph Mastery, and if there is, take it, and, you know, take the money or anything else that you want. You don't have to... I would recommend turning auto-looting off at that point so that it doesn't automatically snag all the junk if you're only after one specific thing. But yeah, if you're not sure how the AoE looting works, basically, if you've killed 10 mobs all together or within proximity to each other, you loot one mob and the little loot box pops up, and it's just one loot box, but it has the combination of all the combined loot of everything within the vicinity, all in that all in that window. So if each mob had 10 silver, you would see a gold, or I don't know if it would show up as a gold or 100 silver, but you would see the combined amount in the window. And if
it would show the individual stacks of stuff, you know, it's not going to say like there's 2 stacks of silk cloth. It's probably going to show a bunch of little stacks of 4 and 5. And
I don't remember that. I thought it was all once, like it was all
in
the maximum stack.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did it in the beta where I did the AoE looting, and that's what it looked like to me, was that if something could stack, it showed up as a stack.
Oh, good, good, yeah.
So unless the one I looted had, you know, 2 cloth and the other one had no cloth, then maybe that's just how it ended up looking like. But anyway, that's going to be you'll be able to farm for those Books of Glyph Mastery very, very easily. So I wouldn't even worry about that. You know, if you can afford it, if there's an abundance on your server and you can buy them all up, go for it. But yeah,
you may too right now go and look in your auction house. If they're going for a good chunk, then sell them, because that Alliance Death Knight I leveled up over there, I came across several of those going through Northrend, and I was selling them for like 1,000-1,500 gold a piece. So it was a nice little chunk of change just off of those. I wasn't really too worried about it. It was more worth the gold to me, I guess, is what I'm saying.
So, also on Twitter, we asked you, do you have anything you want us to elaborate on or clarify from the previous episodes? And you said nothing! So...
Yes, we nailed it.
I guess we answered that. I guess we're going to pick our own here.
A really good job there.
Yep. So one thing I definitely wanted to elaborate on, really, was the last episode we did was all about add-ons, and I had it in my notes, not in the show notes because I wasn't able to get to that, but I had written it down that I wanted to talk about this. But we completely forgot to address if you've never used an add-on before, how do you do it? So, for you add-on newbie users out there, this is what you need to do. The easiest thing for you to do, if you've never done this and you're not super computer savvy, is you want to go to curse.com. That's curse.com. Type this in manually into your internet browser. Don't Google it, and then you run the risk of clicking on some ad that's posing as Curse. You've heard people say, the Curse client, it's infected with malware. Those stories stemmed from people going to Google or some other search engine, Bing, Yahoo, Lycos.
Web crawler.
They type in Curse and some, you know, a bunch of results come up, and it's an advertisement that looks like Curse, and you go to their site and you download the Curse client, except you're not really on the Curse webpage. You're on some place posing as it. And then, yes, you download malicious software, you just installed it, and now it knows all your passwords. So don't do that. Don't type it into a search engine. Just go right into the address bar, type curse.com. That'll take you straight to the website. On the page, there's a link that says Curse Client. Click that. Then, if you're using Windows or Mac, choose which type of PC you have and use one of those. Once it installs, you can launch the client. You can tell it to launch automatically or have it boot up with Windows or just launch it on your own. There'll be a shortcut on your desktop or in your start menu, or I'm not sure how it looks like on a Macintosh, but basically this opens up a little window and you can, if you've heard of an add-on on the show, you can type it into the search bar and you can read about any add-on. You can update, you can install or uninstall any add-ons all from this little window. You don't have to do it in game. You don't have to go back to the website and do anything else. You can do it all from this little window. The only issue is that this only works with add-ons that are on Curse. Now, there are a ton of add-ons on Curse. There's a couple here or there that are not, but you can find almost anything on Curse, so it's still a very viable way to manage your stuff. I started using it probably a few months back, maybe not that long ago.
Oh, yeah, you did yours all manually before that, huh?
Yeah, well, for a good 7 years, I've always done it manually, but I decided to go ahead and try it out because I would log in, we'd do a raid, and I would get a notice, oh, your DBM's out of date, or oh, this is out of date, and I would think, man, you know, I usually go through and update my add-ons once in a while, but I guess I wasn't doing as often as I thought it needed to be done. So what this will do is anytime there is an update, it'll automatically tell you that there's an update to an add-on, and all you do is click update, and it'll download it and update that particular add-on for you every single time. It's free. There's a paid version where you can get a few extra features, like you can do all of them automatically at once. The free version, you have to update them one at a time, but it's a click of a button. It's really easy.
Yeah, that's not the only reason that I would be enticed to go with the premium version is that I play on more than one computer, and it will actually sync them across an account rather than just a client on one.
Like, oh, that's
so if
a good
I went
point.
To go jump on my laptop, it would any add-ons that I've done already, it'll go, oh, hey, you have this add-on. Do you want to put it on here too?
Right. So like if you were playing on your PC and you were trying out some add-on and you decided you liked it, next time you logged into your laptop, it would say, hey, you know, you downloaded this. Do you want to put it here?
Yep.
Oh,
yeah.
That's pretty cool.
As of right now, I gotta just make the note, hey, you know what I really like, whatever. And right. I gotta, next time I go get on the other, because then I'll get used to it, because I play primarily on my desktop. I'll get used to something, and then I'll go log on to my laptop, and it won't be there, and I'll be like, wait, what's going on?
Right. Now, if you are a little savvy, there's other ways around that. You can just copy your add-ons folder and dump it over to your laptop.
Yeah, I did that too. Threw them onto a thumb drive and just copied them over. But
yeah, but for the easy add-on new person out there, this is a very, very easy way for you to not only get them and install them, update them, or uninstall it if you don't like it, but this is a really easy way to get a foot in the door with add-ons and start looking around and learning how to customize your interface in the game. The one thing I would like to note is that there's two tabs in this particular, in the Curse add-on updater. There's a tab for what you have already, and then there's another tab called Get More Add-ons. So if you're searching for something new, make sure you go to the other tab, otherwise it's just going to search what you currently
have
installed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done that a couple of times where I decided I was going to look for something and try it out when I was first trying it out. And I'm typing something, and I'm like, it's not coming up. So I went to the Curse website, and it was there. So I go back to the, you know, because I'm trying to evaluate it, you know. I'm like, why does it show up on the website and not on the Curse client? And I was like, oh, it's because I'm doing it wrong. Okay,
you know what I'll do sometimes? That reminds me of I'll hear of an add-on, or I'll talk to somebody, or I'll see something, and you know, I'll be at work or somewhere else, and I'll look it up, and I'll look at screenshots and decide, you know, sometimes you can look at something and decide right away it's something you don't even want. But right. Then I'll email myself the link, so I'll remember it. But you can install it to your cursed client, to your computer, from the website as well. You can download it from there, and it'll install it as well. So you don't have to do it from the client.
If you don't like doing this method, but you are still interested in trying out add-ons, you'll have to do it manually. This, if you're not too computer savvy, this might be a little confusing. But for I don't want to say the majority or anything. It's just going to have to be, you'll just know what you're doing or not, or you might have to fiddle around with it or not. But this is the manual way to do it. So the first thing you need to do is figure out where Warcraft is installed. And if you're on Windows, it's probably in your C Programs Files World of Warcraft folder. If you're on Windows 7, it's probably in your C username / I forget how it looks in Windows 7.
Yeah, the path is a little different.
Yeah, you've got the x86, or you've got the normal. But it'll be in one of those, and really, if you need to know, you can usually right-click on your shortcut and ask, you know, go to Properties, and it'll tell you where it's installed.
Or you can open file location.
Right. So, once you know where it is installed, the next thing, you just keep that in mind, because you'll need this later. So the next thing you're going to want is an unpacking program, like WinZip, WinRAR, or 7-Zip. 7-Zip is free. I don't think WinZip is free. You don't necessarily need this, because I think it's built into Windows 7 and even Windows XP. But this is if you're using one of these programs, this will make more sense once I get to the next step. So after you've got your unzipping software, then you just go to curse.com. Again, type it and bookmark it later if you want to. Don't search it and click on something bad. Look for an add-on that you want. Once you find it, there'll be a download now button. So once you've chosen one, just click on download now. Depending on your browser, you're either going to be prompted to open the file, and you'll say open with or save. Generally, I choose open with, and then I choose my 7-Zip, for example. And then what it does is it automatically opens up the unpacking software, because it's a zipped file, and it'll say, okay, this is what's in there, and I basically have my unpacking software bookmarked. Well, I have several bookmarks. One of them is my World of Warcraft add-ons folder. So this way, it's once I set it up the one time, really all I have to do is click download now, open with, and then I click an extract button, and it automatically extracts it into the add-ons folder. Now, the add-ons folder, you have to make sure that you put it in this folder. You can't put it in the World of Warcraft folder directly. So
that's right.
The first time you do this, whenever you click unzip or unpack or whatever the verbiage is on the software, navigate to your World of Warcraft folder. You found it earlier in your C Programs World of Warcraft or similar. Once you open up that folder, go into the interface folder, and then once you're in that folder, open up the add-ons folder, and this is where you extract it. And the next time you open up your game, your add-on is installed. That easy. Or confusing. But yes, if this is too confusing for you, the Curse client is a viable option, and it's very, very simple to use. It does all the downloading and unzipping and puts it in your add-ons directory. It does all of that for you if you're not comfortable with manually unzipping it and extracting it.
There's a few add-ons, like Red Range, that don't have, like you mentioned earlier, they're not on the Curse site, so I love that add-on, so I just throw it in there manually, but I personally use the Curse client. I haven't never had any problems with it.
Yeah. Now, the last-ditch way you can do this without using any of the softwares for unzipping, I'm not exactly sure. Again, I'm not sure for Macs, but for Windows, you can, if you just choose save instead of open with, you can save these into your add-ons folder, and then what you can do is you can just right click the add-on name.zip file, and there should be an extract option. At least in XP and Windows 7 you can right click and extract. The downside of this is that it hogs up extra hard drive space. Not a lot, but it adds up after a while. Because you've got the zip file and the extracted file, so it's kind of like doubling up.
If you're using one of those like full UI packages, some of those are pretty big.
Yeah. That is how to get them on to your game, and if you guys have any questions, let us know. I've done this so many times, I could do it in my sleep, so I might have missed something completely, like a vital step. So if you try this and it doesn't work, let us know, and I will go back and revisit these instructions, and we'll correct it.
I do your screenshots.
Yeah. Yes. I will have to do a step-by-step screenshot. So, Rob, is there anything you wanted to bring up in a recap that we might have missed or screwed up in the past?
No, I know with the Pally episode, I just said no, and then I'm talking about it, but yeah, so yes, with the Pally episode, there was one major cooldown that I don't even think I mentioned. One of our guildies chewed into me pretty good, like, what, dude? But there's a huge DPS cooldown called Zealotry. It's like a 2 or 3 minute cooldown, and that is like massive, massive, massive. You wanna keep that up as much as you can, especially during boss fights and whatnot. And that what that cooldown does was it'll allow you, when you use your Crusader Strike, rather than generating one holy power, you'll generate all three of them, and then you could turn around and spend that, spend those however you see fit. Retiming out your Inquisition or using them on the Templar's Verdict, or there's all kinds of options, but it lasts, I think, like about 9-10 seconds, but it is a massive, massive, awesome cooldown. So I completely left that out when we were talking about it, but I guess that goes back to whatever cooldowns you have, two minute cooldowns, 1 minute cooldowns, whatever, 3 minute, 5 minute, try and use those as much as you can, because it's really just going to help your DPS out overall. If you know that the boss is right around the corner, you probably don't want to blow him on this trash right now, but then save it for when you get to the boss. But the way the current heroics are working is there's a good several, 4, 5, 6, 7 trash pulls in between bosses, and that's essentially anywhere from 1, 2, 3 times that you can use your major cooldowns and blow through that. Plus, it's fun when you do that. You go in and you're doing, on the Well of Eternity, you go in there and all you get all those crit buffs, and you can go in and do like over 100k on those pulls, and it's just fun to do that. So that was kind of the one thing that came to mind that I missed. And I think we're probably gonna have some more to revisit a little bit. I know there's been a lot of discussion about the macros episode, a lot of kind of discussion going on Twitter and between some of our other friends and other shows that we talk to. I know we're still working on getting Upsana to put on her macro pants and get in and do it. We're waiting. I'm going to have to hit her up one of these days and literally write them for her and email them to her or something. We will do it. But yeah, I know there's a lot of people that strongly favor Raid Frame add-on, Grid or Voodoo or whatever it is, and I get that. I totally get it, and I know that even some people that use Healbot and whatnot, I've seen some people just kill it and do a really great job. The recommendations that we're making and the things that we're advising are from, I'm speaking more as a group than anything, but from years of gameplay and trying out those other options and finding that you can be just as effective with less. And you in a lot of cases you can be even be more effective, with the mouse over heels and even just the default RAID frames, you can get in there and do that, and it's a way more lightweight solution than going and having to set up some huge add-on and going to configure everything. And it's one less thing that's going to break, and it's written into the game already. It's a matter of opening up a window and copying a couple lines of text in, and you've got a macro, you know. So there's kind of no reason not to do it.
We could do months of episodes on macros. I mean,
yeah, seriously. There's
so many and so many different ways to. I mean, even one macro can be, with just a couple of alterations, can do so many different applications to how your play style is. You can, you know, you have a base macro. Maybe you could tweak it a little bit to make it a mouse over. Or maybe you could tweak it a little bit to just be a hotkey that does something different that isn't a mouse over macro. I mean, there's just so many ways.
Or like the harm heal ones, you know, depending on what you're targeting, it'll either do damage or it'll do a heal, you know, for however you set it up, whether it's a shift modifier or whether, you know, whether it can tell by what you're mousing over, you know, there's all kinds of options.
Yeah, or can tell just, even if you're not doing, like I said, even if you're not doing mouse overs, if for some reason mouse overs scare you,
you're putting your mouse over it already.
Yeah, but I mean, let's say you're a tab targeter. So you tab target something. Well, I guess you can't really tab target allies, can you? I don't think I've ever tried.
Not really for healing, no.
Yeah,
you could go the old F key healing like Hind used to do.
Okay, but let's just say for argument's sake, you're clicking between, you know, maybe you're a shadow priest and maybe you're a priest and you're healing, you're throwing out a renew on someone occasionally, and then you say to yourself, you know what, let me just drop a shadow word pain on somebody real quick. So you could write a macro that, well, really, you could do this with any two spells, but I like to keep similar spells bound with similar spells. So I would write a macro that would, as long as my target or mouse over is friendly, it casts renew. And if I target or mouse over an enemy, it casts shadow word pain. So if it's friendly, it is a hot. If it's an enemy, it's a dot. So it conserves button space. I don't have to have two different buttons. It doesn't cheat anything. It just means that I've got a same button that, just depending on what I have targeted, if it's a friend or an enemy, it's a hot or a dot. As simple as that. It doesn't do anything for me. I still have to press a button. You know, I still have to press a keybind, or however you play. You know, obviously, if you're a clicker, mouse overs are not going to work for you because your mouse is over a button and not a unit frame or an avatar. So, yes, if you're a clicker, mouse overs are not going to work for you. But you can still use many other types of macros, even if you're a clicker. I personally click a couple things here and there, like things that I might use once or twice a raid. Almost everything else I have keybind to my, like, 1 through 6 keys. I mean, I have all of them keybound, but I've got my primaries on my 1 through 6, and then I've got a gaming mouse with other buttons that have other keybinds on those buttons as well. So it's kind of like when I'm playing, it's like I'm typing with both hands. So I'm on my mouse, you know, tapping with my thumb or my forefinger or left and right clicking to do certain actions, or double clicking to run while my left hand is doing other things. Well, playing the game. Okay, I'll clarify that. So
hey, macros open up a whole new world.
They allow you to multitask in ways you never thought possible. All right, I am going to back out of that conversation. Anyway, so yeah, that kind of derailed me. Pallies. Everything you heard in the Pally episode, if you're trying to DPS in your Pally, add in Zealotry into all of that. And
yeah, because you need one more thing to do.
Yeah. And hey, in a couple weeks, it's all changing. So we'll be relearning all that stuff anyway.
I just thought of this, and we're not really a news show by any means, but there was a bit of news that came out today about Blizzard and the potential of being hacked and some of their information being vulnerable. So, in the interest of that, if you're not using an authenticator, you should definitely look into using one. If you have any sort of smartphone, they're available for free on smartphone devices or on certain iPods and whatnot. But yeah, definitely use an authenticator, and I'd go in and just change your password. Maybe even change your email if you're up for that. The email address that you log in with. But I'd definitely go in and do that in the light of the news that came out from Blizzard today.
Yeah, think about this. There's people out there that will brag. I used to be one of them. I didn't have an authenticator. I had never been hacked ever. And I only, got an authenticator within the last, I don't remember. It wasn't when they first came out either. And I just didn't get one. And to date, I have never been hacked ever. But sometimes it's not you that's getting hacked, or it's not you that's clicking on a dumb link with keyloggers or other malicious spyware. They're in this particular, the notice from Blizzard, it was that directly at Blizzard, some information got taken or...
Right, yeah. It wasn't anything that any of the players did, yeah.
Yeah, so, and it doesn't matter if the information they got, let's say they got some, like, Blizzard stated in that particular post what was taken and what types of encryption is on it, and they did say all these things and what may or may not be in those things that were hacked. But this is their system getting hacked, and it's not your computer, and it doesn't matter what you have on your computer at all, how clean it is. If your credit card information got hacked, or if your account information for WoW got hacked, if they were hacking it from the source and not your computer, then there's nothing you can do about it. So in this particular case, if you did not have an authenticator, and if the information that they got was your password, and they were able to, after downloading it, decrypt it, then they've got your account, basically, if you don't have an authenticator. So use an authenticator. They're awesome. They're easy to use. And in many cases, they're free. If you've got an iPod Touch or an iPhone, or I'm pretty sure they've got Android apps for it too.
Yep, that's what I use. Any sort of Android tablet or phone, and I'm pretty sure BlackBerry has them too.
Yep, they are free. You download it, it's free. It's free! Who doesn't like free stuff? I mean, if you really want the key fob, you could pay $6.50, a whole whopping $6. But yeah, it's not always you, and it's not always how safe your computer is. It's safe just to be safe. Do it, because we want you to listen to us and ask how to do stuff. And if you're hacked, we can't do that for you.
Always use protection.
Always. All right, let's move on to some shout-outs. We want to give our thanks to Hearthcast, Dark Moon Herald, Torin Think Tank, Convert to Raid, The Instance. All these guys have been super, super cool playing our drop-ins and getting people to check us out. Hopefully, y'all liked it. Okay, so 5-star reviews. I know we have got more international reviews, and they are not from Canada. So our first 5-star review, not from Canada that I know of, is from Australia. And I really wish this had been an MP3 file, because this would have been sexy to listen to, I think.
I know, maybe. Right?
I know.
Serious.
5-star review. Full of awesome goodness by Lita. One of my favorite weekly podcasts. Hoofit, Hand, and Hotbox have a wonderful way of breaking down information so both new and veteran WoW players will enjoy and relate to. Keep up the wonderful show, guys. Look forward to many more. That's from Lita. Thanks.
Before I get on to these U.S. ones, if you guys are from somewhere outside the U.S. and you do leave us a review, let us know, because it's There is like dozens and dozens and dozens of iTunes stores out there, and it's kind of hard to check through them all. So if you leave us one, let us know. We'll make sure to include it in our shout-outs here. But on to the U.S. reviews. We've got one here from Razor Star that says, "You are making me a better player. Thank you. This is a great podcast for making us all better players. I've listened to your episode on macros 3 times now, and every time I do, I get something new out of it to make me a better player. It's so nice having a podcast that is more than a guess what I saw in beta this week show. You're giving us useful info on being the best that we can be. Even the class-specific topics can still work for others. Thanks again, and keep up the good work." And that was from Chuck, a.k.a. Thorin, at Drendon, on Drendon US.
You know what I saw in the beta this week?
Nothing.
Another 5-star review.
Oh, snap.
This is very informative. Great hosts, great information, great format. Wow, format? Wow, okay. We're going to work on that and try to make it better. Amazing podcast. Keep it up. Scorpion Ride, 85 Druid. I think that's Scorpion Ride of AIE.
I think so, yeah. If that is the on Scorpion Twitter? Ride for... Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Scorpion Ride. Right on. Thank you.
We got another one here called Wannabe Raider by We're Nuts. We're Nuts. That's a great name.
At least there wasn't a D in there. Weird Nuts would have been...
Well, you know, some people...
We're Nuts!
He says, "It's great info for a wannabe raider like me. Great production quality, too. Long may you cast."
Yes, thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, definitely... We appreciate the 5 stars. Any stars are cool. I think what did Jan over at something suggest to say?
Oh,
anything,
yeah.
From 2 to 5 stars is good, because if you leave 1 star, you're just being a troll. So,
and we have a 1-star review. We've got a 1-star review.
Rating, but I don't think they left a review though.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we got 1-star, and
they just went in and put 1 star.
There's just nothing there at all. It's not even. It's not even. I hate you. It's just 1 star.
Yeah, that's the essence of troll right there.
I think.
Right there. 1 star.
That's probably...
I won't even tell you what's wrong. I just don't like you. I don't like your face or your voice. Get it. Well, I think that about does it for episode number 7. And appreciate you guys coming along for the ride, even though we didn't have any Canadian love for you tonight. You can like us at Facebook over at facebook.com, follow us on Twitter at Training Dummies, or subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio, or you could send in your questions or MP3s to the show at thetrainingdummies.com.
Oh, so yeah, and if you're from if you're from Australia or London...
Or the UK, yep.
Yeah, then we would love an MP3.
Yeah, anywhere over there in Europe. To be honest with you, I'm a sucker for accents.
Even if you're a dude.
Yeah.
A bit.
Send it in. Be sure to check out the website at thetrainingdummies.com. And if you'd like to contact any of us individually, all of our information is going to be on there as well. So thank you one more time for joining us for the ride.
Thanks. See you next time.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo!